Now, if my wife has to leave this morning, she can't take strong preaching. I just want y'all to know that. Every now and then, we don't know if it's hypoglycemia, it kicks in on her, and she has a problem with that. But if she leaves, is this my water? Can we just, we're brothers, we'll drink out of the same fountain, we think? Okay. Well, I've been called a lot of things in my life, but I ain't never been called a turkey, to the best of my knowledge. He had a picture on it, camera, and he said, I took a picture of you this morning and showed me a turkey. Call me a turkey. Y'all look like y'all taking a dose of castor oil again. I'm sorry I'm not being disrespectful. I just got to every now and then to get a drink of water. Let me briefly say this. Let me get this out of the way. I was over in, most of you know that for 28, 29 years of my life, every year of my life, I'm at this church in Aiden, North Carolina. And it's always this week of camp meeting. And every year he'd always book me back in. And I'd beg him. I'd say, man, you need to bring somebody else in here that be a blessing to your people. I was supposed to have been there this, like I said, with Brother Chris Sadler. And I preached. They booked me in Bristol, Tennessee. Boy, good church. Rock Hill, Tennessee. Mountain people. I love them mountain people. Hey, Brother Noble, you'll get a kick out of this. Larry. I come in and seen Larry with hair. He shocked my nervous system because that's totally out of context. He told me he's using Miracle-Gro. I said, if it works, I'm going to try it. Don, don't laugh. But I was in Rock Hill, Baptist Church down in Bristol. And I don't know what it is about me. They can look at me and tell if I love old cars. I don't mention them. I don't talk about them. They come up to me and they said, preacher, you like old cars? I said, I love them. Just like that. Now remember, we're in Bristol, Tennessee. That's Bristol. You know where Bristol's at. Every night, Brother Noble, they brought a streetcar and tormented me. Every night they brought a different car and parked it on the parking lot to make me lust after it. What do you think about that? 34 Fords, 33 Chevrolets, 49s, 50s. Every night they bring some street rod, I'm talking about $45,000, $50,000 car and park it out there, and I'd see it, lust after it. Did I say that? I might get back sitting, but I'm going to tell you right now, it'd probably be an overload car. I'm going to stay anyway. Forget going to the doctor. I've got to go Tuesday to, they booked me to go into Central Baptist Hospital, and I'm to see a specialist. You'll love this, and don't die laughing. Don't fall out of the pew. I'm to go see a cardiologist that does not do heart surgery, but he specializes in problems that went wrong in cardiology. So they did CTs, ETs, all this other stuff, and they come up with, I've got a wall thickening in my heart. But honestly, that's what my cardiologist said. He said, now we know what's wrong. You got a hard heart. I said, you didn't have to do no CT scan to be told that. I already know I got one of them things. But I don't know if it's been since I've seen you. But I don't know if it's been all this stuff. I tried to get it all into context. Had open heart surgery. Then they did three artery bypasses. They replaced the aortic valve. Then they put a pacemaker. Then they went back and put a stent in my heart since I've seen you. And so I'm wired up. Well, I'm fully wired, amen. I went and they done this scan on me. I'm laying there looking at the screen, and I seen all these wire ties. I said, what in the world is them things? He said, it's what's holding you together. Wire ties, just like you tie a loaf of bread. Ain't that pitiful? I said, is them things going to stay in there? He said, you better hope they do. Now, these doctors love me. I'm in the book of 1 Kings, if you would. 1 Kings. And if you would, I wish you remember my granddaughter. Emily, as I was speaking to you as we came in this morning, my granddaughter was taken, they was taking her to the emergency room. They live in Fairfield, and that's my daughter, Kim, and she's got two daughters, and she's having fainting spells, and we don't know, in fact, she had five of them, they couldn't even get her up. and they had to take her to the emergency room. So I wished you would pray for my granddaughter. Her name is Emily, and little old Emmy loves the Lord. And pray for me. I hope they find out why I get so give out. But I do real well if as long as I don't preach like 2 or 3 weeks back to back. And then maybe it's old age, reckon? Excuse me? Do you hear that? That's supposed to be a friend, possibility. All right, 1 Kings, please, chapter 10. Now, stay with me this morning. I was telling Brother Noble or somebody, I said, boy, you people are blessed of the Lord. We left Somerset this morning. It's a little better than a 3-hour drive. But you don't have to go to Gatlinburg or go to Pigeon Forge. If you want to see something really pretty, get on the parkway. We'll just drive up to Somerset. They got a White Castle up there. But anyway, I'm just telling you, the leaves are absolutely off the chart, ain't they, honey? They're beautiful. They're every different color you can think of. And so many times we take so much for granted. Well, y'all agree with that? We just take it all for granted, just like the colors of the leaves of a tree. I love to look at that. I think it's knocked down gorgeous. I'm glad God painted. What if the Lord had painted everything purple? What if he made grass grow up to be purple? Don't y'all ever think? I got to tell y'all this. Look up here. Preach in a minute. I hope y'all ain't in no hurry. Huh? We got a friend of mine. He come down and helped us with the building. His name's Mike Cox. Big old Mike. You'll be as slim as Big Mike. Mike is an agricultural, he's got a degree in ag. We got a huge farm right outside of where we live at. He went over and he called me and he said, preacher, do you want a watermelon? Well, I said, you're breathing. We go over there and God is my witness. I think I'm pretty strong. I can reach down and pick up an 85-pound bag of cement like this, just flat-footed, pick it up. I went over there, and I have never seen a watermelon. I lusted after that watermelon. I'm not exaggerating. Asked my wife, it's about that big, wasn't it, honey? And I couldn't reach down and pick it up like this. I said, I want that watermelon. Y'all ever seen a watermelon weigh 90-some pound? Heaven help us. He sold it. I'm going to shoot him yet over that. Sold my watermelon. We had two of them, weighed over 90 pound. You believe that? About as bad as my wife. I told Brother Jay, they're always gardening. My wife raised a garden this year. And my wife does things in the extremes. Does y'all's wife do that? You can go ahead, Brother Lawrence. Y'all ain't got no sense of adventure at all. She puts a garden out, and I tell her, Mary, don't go to the extreme. Don't do that. We ain't going to be at home. She put out 58 tomato plants. Ain't that pitiful? Don't laugh. She's got the pictures, by the way, a tomato that was 6 inches. Oh, watch her. See how she corrects me? 6.5 inches. 4.5 inches tall and weighed 2.25 pounds, I believe it was. She got pictures of it. They asked me, what did you do with it? What do you think I done with it? I put it in the ministry. I ain't going to let that tomato rot. Amen. Eat that thing. Hey, ain't that a pretty good sized tomato? I'm in the book of 1 Kings, please, chapter 10. Brother Lawrence and I had not talked. He did not tell me he was in the book of Genesis. Miss Wanda, when she sang a moment ago, she sang, he cared for me, I've not talked to anybody. And I sure didn't talk to Brother Bradley. If I get out of that, I wouldn't talk to him now. I love old Brother Bradley. I don't know how his wife puts up with him. Amen. I said, where's meanness at? She said, he's back yonder. She knows him too. But hey, did y'all see the songs that he picked out? Did y'all listen to the Sunday school hour? Now keep all that together, and I want to show you how the Lord puts things together. Go to 1 Kings in chapter 10. Let's read together verse 1. When the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great train with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all of her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all of Solomon's wisdom in the house that he had built, the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel, his cupbearers, and watch this, and his ascent, by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Notice now, notice the woman that had tried, someone said, I tried to research it. They said perhaps maybe over 1,000 miles, this woman had came to have an audience with a man by the name of Solomon. She'd come with him with all these hard questions, and she'd heard of Solomon. But notice when she seen his ascent as how he went up into the house of the Lord, there's no more spirit in the woman. Now look in verses 6. She said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thine acts of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came. Mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and thy prosperity exceedeth the fame of which I heard. I want you to zero in, and I want you to put your circle around the word where it says, the half has never been told. I want you to do that for me this morning. Now, we're going, supposedly, in the camp meeting. Supposedly. My wife and I love to witness to people. I love to try to win people to God. I love to see people get saved. But do you know what I spend probably 95% of our lives? Guess what we do? It's not trying to win the lost. It's trying to keep homes together. It's trying to encourage people or exhort people. And we're living in a time of apathy. We're living in a time when they come in, they sit down, they get up, and they go home. A preacher friend of mine, I argued with the Lord and I debated on coming down here when I was coming down the parkway this morning. A preacher friend of mine came and he said, Brother Sisson, could I talk to you? We're sitting down underneath the willow tree. Brother Noble's been to my house, Brother Lawrence. We're sitting underneath the willow tree on an old oak bench. And he's been in his church for 13 years. He said, Brother Sisson, he said, do you ever in your life, did you ever feel like that you've lost your effectiveness? I looked at him and I said, Brother David, the longer that a preacher is at a church, I said, the devil uses that on him to make him feel like that he's not accomplishing anything, that nobody's lives is being changed, nobody's getting saved. And I told him, I said, Brother David, well, he said, how do you do it? He said, how do you just keep on Sunday after Sunday? And he said, you always seem like you're up. I'm not always up. Trust me, I'm not always up. You can ask my wife. But I'm saying, if there's anything in the world that keeps me going, is I've never lost the thrill of being saved. I've never lost the thrill of it. I know when God saved me. I understand all that. But I'm saying that I've never lost the thrill of just being saved. Brother Lawrence this morning, I understand he's talking about a fresh visitation of God, and we need God to visit with us. But you see, if God ever does visit with you and you recognize that He's visiting with you, you'll never be the same. You hunger for it and you crave it. Now, let's go back and look in your Bible. Here was a woman by the name of Queen of Sheba, and she came with a caravan. And can you picture this in your mind? I mean, hey, travel a long distance, let's just use that. And she gets there and she meets this man by the name of Solomon. And the Bible says there's no more spirit in her, but in verses 7, howbeit the half was not told me. Well, I understand we're living in this day and time when people, I believe just what Brother Lawrence said, I believe in the imminent return of the Lord. I believe He can come at any given moment, amen. I believe that with all my heart and soul. In fact, the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the more barren it's going to become. So let me tell you what Melvin Sisson does. Guess what I do? The Bible says, moreover, it's required in a steward that he be found faithful. I can do that. Not educated, not good looking, not wealthy. Don't say nothing, Brother Noble. But I can stay faithful. I can do that. Say amen. I can do that. That's my goal in life. I want to be found faithful. I can stay focused. Number two, I can do that. I can keep my eyes up on the Son of God. Hallelujah. Our preachers are falling and people are falling and churches are dead, drying up. I never seen nothing like it in my life. But I can be found faithful and I can stay focused. I can finish my course. I can do that. Sometimes I get annoyed. Maybe not at you, but everybody tells me, preacher, you better slow down. They tell me that, but nobody tells me how to do it. They say, you better slow down. Well, I can't find the brake pedal. How you like that? But I'm saying this morning, I can stay focused. I can run my race. I can finish my course. Hey, I realize and understand this. I'm just a heartbeat from eternity. I understand all that. But I'm saying, how the half has never been told. What do you mean, preacher? I've tried to find adjectives. I've tried to describe it, but I cannot find adjectives to describe to you on the half has never been told. Let me show you this. Go back and look in your Bible. What do you mean, brother Sisson? I thought about when Adam, brother Lawrence this morning, was talking about Noah. God remembered Noah. Hallelujah. But have you ever thought about how it was before the days of Noah? Have you ever thought about when Adam and Eve was in the Garden of Eden? Have you ever thought about them living in a perfect environment? Have you ever thought about what the result was of a three-letter word called sin? The half has never been told us. I'm a news hound. The fall of man. I thought about Adam and Eve being in that garden. Yet I find that, guess what? Notice in your Bible, they lost their Shekinah glory of God. They lost that when Eve sinned against God and rebelled against God, and Adam willingly, voluntarily partake of that for fruit. Eve was beguiled. Read your Bible. What do you mean, brother Sisson? A sin led to shame in Genesis chapter 2. A sin led to sham in verse 7. They tried to cover themselves up with fig leaves. Thirdly, it led to separation. They hid themselves from God Himself. And then, let's guess what? Their separation led to God seeking them. When God says, Adam, where art thou? You know what drove them out of the garden? Do you know what drove them out of the garden? It was their rebellion toward God. It's a three-letter word called S-I-N. I can't describe it better. I don't have the adjectives. What do you mean, preacher? There's things that are going on. Man is a sinner by nature, by practice, and by choice. Sin is the reason why that our Savior came into the world to die. But have you ever thought about it? I'm talking about this three-letter word called sin. It is so terrible, it's so hideous, that it took 66 books for God to put it in a book about. We've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. 2 Corinthians 5, He who knew no sin was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The half has never been told how bad sin is. What do you mean, preacher? When God called Adam. What do you mean, preacher? Adam hid himself from God. Now, brother, sister, what do you mean? Have you ever, do y'all watch the news? Would you raise your hand? How many of y'all watch the news? Things are going on that appall me. For one, that preacher down there in Atlanta, Georgia, the black preacher, just look up here, don't bow your head yet. We're talking about what's wrong with our society. It's a sin problem. Hey, that black preacher down there in Atlanta, Georgia, that was on the consulting staff to President Bush and Clinton and on, the man in Atlanta, Georgia, the man that now come out that he's molested them boys. Oh, may God help us. Say amen. If you don't say amen, we're going to stay right here. Sin is so hideous. It's so terrible. But our day and time, we gloss it over. Amen. But sin ain't no longer sin. What do you mean, preacher? I thought about this. I thought about how our day and time, the vulgarity, the drunkenness, the gambling, the abortion, the sex issue. I thought about how the young man that jumped off the bridge this past week, the accomplished violinist. Do you know the reason why he jumped off that bridge? It's because that they had filmed him in a sodomy act. Why did he go jump off of a bridge, Brother Sisson? I'm talking about innately in a man, we have a sin problem. You come in this world speaking lies in Psalm 58. You're estranged from your mother's womb. I'm saying sin always finds you out. Numbers 32:23, be sure your sin will find you out. Galatians 6, verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Half ain't never been told. The half has never been told. How about the two little boys that they got the Amber Alert out, the two little boys out there in out west? Does anybody outside of me, do you ever just think how horrible what them little boys are going through with? How about the little girl that was 11 years old? How three girls walking down the street and this man, this hideous, and I want to call reprobate. That means tested out worthless. He grabbed that little girl, grabbed her in a truck. How many of y'all seen that? kept her for hours and sodomized that little girl over and over again. I mean, 11 years old, hideous sin is so hideous, amen. But see, we don't want to call sin, sin. They say, well, he had a bad childhood. Done heard that. They said he had a stepdad that reared him, that brought him up. And his stepdad used correction on him. Hey, Jay, did your dad ever use correction on you? I asked Larry's daddy this morning. I said, I'll give you $20 to go take Larry, wire a limb out on Larry. He said, I was going to do it for five. I lost $15. But I'm saying our parents corrected us. And our day and time, they say, well, psychologically, it's ruining the child. I'm saying the problem is a sin problem. But our day and time, a sin is no longer sin. It's not hideous. It's not terrible. It's not bad. Now, don't go out of here and call me insensitive. Don't go out of here and say I'm not caring. I get enough mail from the radio listeners anyway over this stuff. Hey, that boy that jumped off that bridge, don't go out here and say that I don't care. Don't you dare do that. My heart does. I care about that boy jumping off that bridge. But I want you to watch this. All of a sudden, all of your movie stars, your main movie stars came on television. That Helen DeGeneres, they named her correctly. But watch this. Did you know her mother was adamantly against her sexual preferences? I'm talking about her daughter, Ellen. Can you believe that her mother was supposedly brought up in a fundamental Bible-believing church? She says, I now have changed my position. If sin was wrong 30 years ago, it's still wrong. But our problem is, guess what? Helen DeGeneres came on the television and said, all of you heterosexuals out there, I was watching her on the news. Hey, one after the other came on in favor of this so-called homosexual. What I'm trying to get you to see, sin is still hideous, amen. But we don't call it hideous anymore. Half's never been told. Half has never been told. That poor little girl out there down there in Florida, that hideous fiendish man filled with demons of hell abducted that child out of her bedroom. Y'all probably seen it on the news. And he raped her and sodomized her and raped her and sodomized her and then put her in a plastic bag and guess what? And put her in a hole and a little thing was poking her fingers out of the hole. Him over in a bar drinking a beer and smoking a cigarette. Whew, Lord, is it quiet in here. Thought we was trying to have camp meeting. The half has never been told. Behind every divorce, it's a three-letter word called sin. Behind every breakup, that's a three-letter word called sin. Half's never been told. I don't have edges. I can't describe it. I told a man the other day, and he is so upset at me, and I'll take a quarter of a baby aspirin and worry about it. Guess what he's upset at me over? I told him, I am not going to adopt a highway and clean up no highway. I'm not going to do it. For one, I think they ought to get that sorry bunch of prisoners out of jail and put chains on they have to and make them clean up the highways. What do you think about that? Hey, like that. See, they don't mind going to jail. They don't mind raping our children, sodomizing our children. They don't mind. No, you don't even tell you why. They get three meals a day. They get air conditioned, central heat, dental, and then get paid when they come out of jail. Something bad wrong with that. If y'all don't say amen, I'm going to stay right there. The half has never been told. But you see, we've got so accustomed to it. We've gotten so used to it, to nothing. I told my wife, I am sick. I am up to here with this junk. I'm a television. Oh, my God, help us. You don't want to get me started on television. But I'm saying, guess what? It's nothing but a bedroom scene. Say amen right there. And anything that's what they might call a Bible believer, have you ever noticed it? They turn on them like raven wolves. They don't mind you being religious. Just as long as you're not a Bible believer. Right. Y'all ever notice how soon they turn things off when you mention the Bible? Right. You don't need to start paying attention to that. Boy, I jumped up and down, screamed, got on the radio, and I smoked the airwaves. I've been on radio for 26, 27 years of my life. Monday through Friday, I smoked the airwaves. Y'all probably visited me in jail. Some of y'all wouldn't come, no way. Wouldn't even bring me a bowl of beans. Amen. See what I mean? I'd bring you a bowl, cold. But I'm saying, listen to me this morning. Listen to me. It don't bother us anymore. We're not touched by it anymore.
A preacher can preach his heart on. I mean, he can preach his heart out on how terrible sin is and how Jesus paid our sin debt, and it just ineffectively. Ineffectively. What's wrong with us, brother Sisson? The half has never been told. That man that got on the television, God bless his heart, that sorry, no count, worthless preacher down there in Atlanta, Georgia. Yep. Wish I had. You know, I got some other ads. You want me to call him that too? But here, I'm talking about, have y'all ever thought about them poor little boys and what he, I mean, that little boy said, I smell his aftershave. I showered and I tried to bathe and get that smell off of me, talking about that man that sodomized him. God help us, amen to me, it's terrible, amen. Then we got people that glorify that lifestyle. God help us, I'm trying to get to my, let me show you this, go back, look in your Bible. What do you mean, brother, sister? I'm saying this morning, may God help us to see how terrible sin is, amen. You ought to thank God, you ought to jump up and run around the building about 10 times that you got a preacher that'll nail sin down. Say amen right there. And I mean, you got a good church, you got a good, I'm saying we got everything we need to do a work for God and we're not doing anything. Do you know the reason why America can't conquer Iraq or Iran or Afghanistan? Would y'all like to know? Three-letter word called sin. Psalms 9, verse 17, the wicked in the nation that forget God shall be turned into hell. America has turned its back on God. I seen the other day, Brother Lawrence, I jumped up and down. And in fact, this week I'm going to air it on the radio. I'll probably, sure enough, get shot. I said, it's a shame and a disgrace. That our country called America, did you know that right now, as you sit here this morning, has the warlords, Afghanistan, the warlords, they have to pay every truck $1,000. Can you believe that? They pay the warlord $1,000 for the truck to go through their Providence or wherever. But if there's 18 trucks, and they've only paid for 17, guess what? Guess one of them gets blown up. And can you believe this? And there, half of that $1,000 goes to the very enemy that we're trying to fight. There's something bad wrong with that. You can't buy friends, say amen. You can't do it. But I'm saying our problem is when we took God out of our government, we took God out of our churches, and we took God out of our homes, this is the end result. Now it's going to get a little better if y'all smile. Go back to 1 Kings. Look in your Bible. What do you mean? I'm talking about the half has never been told about the fall of man and what it does. Hey, it brought Adam and Eve, it drove them from their residence. Our Savior, thank God, he left the Father's side and came down here and died. Guess what for? Sin. Have you ever thought about this for a moment? The same way that Adam and Eve had to leave the garden, did you know Jesus had to leave the Father's side? I don't think y'all are getting this. The same way that Adam and Eve was taken from the garden, the same way that Jesus willingly, voluntarily came into this world and died. Boy, I had me a fit the other day, Brother Bradley, and every now and then I have one. I just jump up and down. Anymore I can run, but I have to walk back. You know, out there in California, I don't know why we don't get our eyes open. One end of the country's fire, famines, floods. Phoenix, Arizona, where my boy just lived. You lived a few years ago until he got transferred. They're having tornadoes in Phoenix, Arizona, and Flagstaff. Unheard of. They had fires in California, burning down everything. Look at that toxic chemical waste over there in Hungary. Nobody pays any attention to this stuff. Ah, brother, sister, this is coincidental. Y'all ever heard that? Let me tell you where I had a spell. They was talking about tyrant in California. These trained firefighters. I like that, trained firefighters. That when they're in a, they carry them backpacks. Boy, this made me have a spell. They carry them backpacks, and they go right into online fighting them fires. But if the fire backfires on them, they have all them bulldozers, inside of their backpack, they've got this thing that they jerk out and they do this. And they just put it down over them and just lay down and the fire goes right over top of them. I said, ain't that a blessing? We're fireproof. Y'all didn't get it? All they do is just jerk that blanket out and put it on them and just lay down just like an old chicken. And the fire goes right over top of them. Ain't that amazing? NASA, that's about the only thing we got out of going to the moon. Is honestly, they carry in their backpacks, they carry a shield. It's a silver shield. Looks like a quilt. And they just do this, and they just bow down. Ain't that sight? And the fire just goes right over top of them. Woo! I'd run, but I had to walk. I felt my pacemaker hit their lick there. My wife and I don't know if she was with me, but I don't think she was. I was in Afton, Ohio. And the preacher said, Brother Sisson, said, after service tonight, said, my wife has got five-way chili. I said, whoopee. We go over after services. We're sitting down there. We're talking about how hideous sin is. And boy, I'm glad I got a fireproof blanket. I'm not going to hell. Going to heaven. We're sitting down there, and I didn't do this, whether y'all believe this or not. I didn't do this. She spilt five-way chili all over her, all over that table spread. Well, that'd be the biggest mess you ever seen. I jumped up and jumped back because chili went everywhere. She said, it's all right. She come in there in a few minutes, raked it off in another bowl. She took another rag and just wiped it up. And I noticed, Miss Betty, I noticed when she wiped it up, there was no stain. Little wheels are turning. I'm thinking, I need one of them for my grandkids. I mean, there was no stain on that tablecloth. I said, Terry, where can I get one of them? She said, I'll take you tomorrow. I went and got me a stain-proof tablecloth. Y'all just don't get nothing. Did you know the garment that we have is stain-proof?
Amen.
Boy, Brother Lawrence this morning was, whew, hallelujah. When God looks at Brother Lawrence, listen, he looks through the blood, it's a stain-proof. Thank God. Hallelujah. Hey, the garment we have is stain-proof. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That ought to make you want to come to camp meeting and run a while. You know what I'd love to see? I would love to see some of y'all run. You especially, Brother James. I bet he runs to get on the boat. What do you think? I bet that boat says, Noble can't even do that. We'd have to go get a roll back, get him up. Hey, the half has never been told. Say amen on how horrible sin. Look at me for a moment. Where's my little baby at back there? Oh, I ought to go get the little thing. Daddy let me have him this morning. I'll come get her. Don't bother me. Let me have that baby. I want to show you something. I'm coming. She'll come to me. Come on, baby. Come on. Let's go get this baby. Hot dog. Don't pay no attention to that thing. Look here. If the half has never been told, look at me. If the half has never been told, what's going to happen to her? Hey, not 5 years. Look at me. Not five. Not two. If the half has never been told, what's going to happen to this little baby? Brother Larry, don't y'all ever put your mind in gear. What if the Lord lets her get married and gets a child? Have y'all ever thought, what in the world's going to become of her? When I was with me and my wife talking about it, how many of y'all had children? Did you ever let your kids play in the front yard? Did you ever let them play up to the neighbor's house? Let them play in the backyard? I'll guarantee you, just like me, you just let them go play. You don't dare do that now. You have to watch them go to the bathroom. Or either that or take them in the restroom. Am I right or wrong? Scared to death somebody will abduct a little child. Guess what they do now? I know this sounds hideous. Did you know these fiendish men, they carry dye to dye her hair. They carry clothes to change her clothes. They take her, abduct her like that in a shopping center, and they change her, they dye her hair, change her clothes. Out the door they go. See, it's not getting hold of you. The half ain't never been told. Our hearts ought to break. I sit here and tell you about the abductions. I tell you about all the sexual things, sodomy. It just goes through one ear and out the other. Complacency, apathy, indifference, unthankfulness. Amen, preacher system. Ain't that pretty? I don't know why they put that bow on that child's head. She's too pretty without that bow anyway. I ain't giving her to Jay. I'm going to take her home with me. I need a car seat. That's the reason why that little thing needs a mom and daddy that loves God. Say amen. Say amen. Hey, that child needs to be brought up in the house of God. I'm fearful, brother. That child, what's her name, son?
Hannah.
Ain't that a good Bible name? Hannah needs to know what a camp meeting is. Amen. I'm fearful. Boy, I'm telling you the God's honest truth. I got to get off this. Half ain't never been told. Queen of Sheba got there, she told Simon, the half ain't never been told. But then I put on the flip side. Flip side. I thought the half has never been told about what? Our future. Yes, hey, glory. I go up there to that, whatever that cardiologist is, Betty, and he says, "Preacher, have you ever thought about it? Have y'all ever thought about it? One day you're going to exit this world. Have you ever thought about it? If Jesus doesn't come, have you ever thought about it? One day you're going to exit out of here." My point is, guess what? My future is secure. Man, I got a good future. Thank God. Hallelujah. I ain't got too much wealth down here. I don't much want none of that junk. God's been good to me. Amen. The other day I went in my closet. I opened up that closet door. And I thought about how I used to didn't have but one white shirt. Now I got about a dozen. Hallelujah. Most everything I got, somebody gave me. Ain't that a blessing? Well, God's been good to you too, I reckon. Hey, the half ain't never been told about our future. Have you ever thought about it? Where we're going, no defilement, thank God. No drugs, no drunkenness, amen. Ain't that a blessing? Where we're going, son, there'll never be nothing defiles the city. Half ain't never been told. I was trying my best to get the majesticness of coming down the parkway looking at all them colors, Miss Kathy. Isn't that beautiful? I love to just look at the... And I thought about where we're going. My wife and I went to Sydney, Australia. First time I ever went to New York City, I stood there and I know the roof of my mouth got sunburned. I know that. But boy, when I went to Sydney, Australia, you talk about one pretty city. Can you imagine me and you stepping off in that celestial city? Huh? Can you imagine that? 1,500 square miles. Gates of pearl, walls of jasper, street of gold, mom and dad. Woo! Thank God. Hey, man, can you just imagine this? Can you imagine? No defilement where we're going. Nothing like I've been describing to you. There ain't going to be nothing like that there. Ain't that wonderful? When y'all was kids, did y'all ever go to bed and didn't lock the doors? Would you raise your hand? How many of you? Did you go to bed and didn't even lock your doors? Note everybody up and down the road. I never will forget we got screens. I thought we was rich people. I thought we got on the boulevard. We got screens on the doors, screens on the windows. But we used to go to bed of a night. We didn't lock the doors. Everybody knew everybody. Now then, guess what? It's a fearful thing. People lock the doors and put deadbolts on, lay the gun out, say amen. I'm saying where we're headed, thank God, no defilement there, amen. No darkness. I got a deputy sheriff that lives right across the road from me. You don't ever want to go to my house and me not be there. Hello? He's a deputy sheriff, lives right across from me. And he's God sent. He said, "Don't worry about it. I'll take care of your house." He said, "I'll shoot them and drag them out." Have y'all ever noticed how things is always done in the dark? You ever noticed, Larry? How many of y'all ever noticed it? 95% of everything is done under the cloak of darkness. Y'all ever noticed that? How many of y'all would you raise your hand? Raise your hand. You ever notice it? Cloak of darkness. Have you ever thought about where we're going? There ain't going to be no darkness. Right. Brother Noble, when you was a kid growing up, was you afraid of the dark? How many of y'all, when you were kids growing up, you were afraid of the dark? Would you raise your hand? Afraid of the dark. Come on, be honest. Lift your hand up or something. Well, raise both hands or feet. I don't care. But in years gone by, little kids was terrified of the dark. Why, Brother Sisson? I'm saying in the cloak of darkness, but the half has never been told where we're going because there ain't going to be no darkness because Christ is the light thereof. Amen. Third thing, no diseases, no cancer. Had a young girl, 38 years old, my wife used to babysit her. And she's a little girl. We buried her two Saturdays ago. 38 years old, drove a school bus all of her whole life. Ever since she got out of school, an accomplished musician, loved God. She loved singing in the church. She loved playing the piano. She stepped out of the shower and fell straight just like this. And fell dead. The coroner said she was dead before she hit the ground. 38 years old. I'm saying where we're going, there ain't going to be no diseases destroying our bodies. No heart attacks. No Alzheimer's. No dementia. Ain't that a blessing? Ain't going to be no nursing homes either. Ain't going to be no age people. Lord, I ought to run a while. If y'all open the door, I might run. Hey, no darkness, no defilement, No danger, no disease. Let me show you something else. No deception. Boy, you're looking at one man, I disdain lying. Have you ever noticed people just lie today? Have you ever noticed it? Well, that's biblical, 2 Timothy 3. They're going to be truce breakers. They ain't going to keep their word. I disdain that people deceive people. Boy, was it quiet in here this morning. I'll tell you how people deceive God. Deceptive. God, if you'll spare my child. Lord, if you'll spare it. Lord, if you'll do this. Lord, if you, I promise you, Lord, I'll live for you. And then they don't do it. Ain't that being deceptive? God, help us. I'd rather die. I told a man just the other day, he gave me some money to help the in Haiti. And he said, I personally just don't think we ought to be helping the people down in Haiti. I said, well, somebody helped you. He's talking about the money getting gone. I understand all that. But I told him, and now let me tell you, I may have to face God with a lot of things in my life, but I don't want to face Him being dishonest. I may have to face God with a lot of things, but I don't want to face Him with dishonesty or being deceptive. Would y'all agree with that? Conning people, lying people. No deception, thank God. No misunderstanding, no anger, no jealousy, thank God. No dying. My wife and I was thinking about it. I have one brother, that's all I have. My immediate family, my brother. Anybody, you ever lost anybody that you love dearly? You ever lost your mom, dad, child, sister, brother? You ever had to go to the funeral home and pick out clothes, grave clothes? You ever have to do that? Have you ever had to go an hour early for the family? Have you ever heard these words? You can go to your car and the grave will be properly prepared for. I'll never have to hear that again. Thank God, hallelujah. I'll never have to bury a little baby. I'll never have to have two little twin babies sitting on little pedestals. I'll never have to see that again. No dying. You ought to shout, thank God. I mean, hey, the half has never been told. No dying where we're going. I'll show you something else. No devil. Half ain't never been told. Hey, in Revelation chapter 20, he's bound. And then one day he's did away with. He's cast in the lake of fire. No devil. That ought to make y'all have a spell. Amen. That ought to make you want to come to camp meeting and say, whoa, thank God. Have a spell like that every now and then. No devil. Half ain't never been told, Jay. Ain't that a great? Half ain't never been told. We'll never have to say goodbye. Queen of Sheba got there and she said, half ain't never been told. Ain't that a blessing? Amen. Brother Sisson, the half ain't never been told about how hideous sin is. Boy, you talk about getting a preacher irate. The Pope come to America. Did y'all see it recently? Did y'all see when he come to? Did anybody see it other than me? Is anybody here at all? They kept questioning him and asking him, questioning him and asking him about the sexual scandals. Did y'all see that? Did you see how evasive he was? Did y'all see that? Did you know that that man was on that Vatican, that was a member of that Vatican Council? Can you believe this? An ordained minister to Catholicism, that he had a man on the payroll that was bringing him two boys a day. Ain't that awful? You don't want to know what I think y'all do to him. But ain't that awful? And then you got people that defends them, moves them around, and then they do it to another child. God help us. Half ain't never been told how hideous this thing is. Half has never been told about the future of God's people. You know, I wished I had edges. I wished I could describe to you on how horrible hell is. Look up here. Let me give you a classic example. I got a friend of mine right now, a good friend that loves God, is in Central Baptist Hospital. They went down into his heart and they pulled off I don't know how many cc's of fluid that was around his heart. He's in the fourth stage of cancer. Talked to his wife right before coming down here. Unless God intervenes, Jim ain't going to live. I said, Jim, he works for Lowe's. I went up there I used to preach for him down Lumber King when I come in. On Wednesday mornings, I go down and preach for him. He wanted me to come preach.
all of his employees. I said, Jim, I put my arm around him. He ain't nothing but skin and bones. I put my arm around him. And I said, I love you, Jim. And I said, if you run off to heaven and leave me down here, I'm going to be mad at you when we get to heaven. He looked at me and grinned. He said, I'm going to beat you there. Have you ever just thought about it? Have you ever just, is God that real to you? That, I mean, if you knew death was coming, I mean, could you face it? I mean, do you know that? I mean, I wished I had, can you just imagine leaving this world and stepping over into the other world? But on the flip side, can you imagine leaving this world and dropping off into hell? See, that ought to put us that saved on our faces. We ought to have a burden for our people. Hey, we ought to have a burden for our children, grandchildren. I ought to have a little burden for Hannah. I tell you this in closing, half ain't never been told. The half has never yet been told. I pulled on the church parking lot this morning, sat there for a minute, looked over there and seen that old building. The half's never been told when y'all was meeting over there. Y'all never dreamed y'all be sitting in something like this. Half ain't never been told. Can you imagine me in heaven with a glorified body? Can you just imagine that? Y'all have a sense of imagination? You talk about Speedy Gonzales. Shoot. Boy, I love to think about it. My wife and I was talking, how does people live with the thought that they've got a child in hell? How do they face a day? How do they go through a day knowing that they've got somebody in hell? You know what I want to do? I know when the Lord says quit. Let's stand, heads bowed and eyes closed.